Okay, let's do worksheet number one together, and then you're going to do worksheet number two on your own. Now, these are calculations that we discussed in chapter 10. We looked a little bit at them in chapter 9, but mostly these are from chapter 10. So make sure you've gone through the lecture for chapter 10. Make sure you've done your research, read the book. It's in the library. Remember, the book is always in the library. You can read through that. Oh, by the way, the publisher kind of sent me a curt email saying, we're no longer offering that to your bookstore next semester. And I thought, oh, well, they'll have to get it online, won't they? For a lot less than the new book. Let's take a look at number one. A bond that pays 9% is currently priced at $1,200. Wait a minute. What are bonds normally priced at? Right. Par value is $1,000. So is this a premium or a discount bond? It's above $1,000, so it's a premium bond, right? What's the nominal interest rate and what is the current interest rate? Well, the nominal interest rate, also known as the coupon rate, well, that's easy, is it? That's the named rate, nominal named 9%. It's one of those questions such as, hey, what's your name, Bob? A 9% bond is not, the nominal rate is 9%. The coupon rate is 9%. What's the current yield? Well, if you look at the formulas, the formula sheet I gave you, it's in your book and also on the website. Current yield is equal to annual interest divided by market price. Annual interest divided by market price. Well, what's the annual interest on a 9% bond? Right, $90, right, because virtually all bonds are denominated in $1,000 increments. So our annual interest is $90, and the market price is $1,200. So if we take $90 divided by $1,200, we get 0.05 or 7.5%, excuse me, 0.075, did I say 0.75? That's wrong. 0.075, careful, bond's not paying 75%, 7.5%. Okay, good. Now, number two, a 9% 20-year bond has a par value of $1,000, they all have a par value of $1,000, and a call price of $1,050. Remember the call price we talked about? That's the premium that the bond issuer has to pay if they ask you for the bond back. If they call the bond in, they can't call it at par, they can't call it at $1,000, they have to pay an extra $50 as a sort of like a, you can think of it as a prepayment penalty, right? It's callable in 5 years, so the call protection period doesn't run out until 5 years. The bond is currently selling for $1,110, so it's a premium bond. And what we're going to do is calculate the current yield, the yield to maturity, and the yield to call. Well, now, wait a minute. We already did the current yield. That's pretty easy. The annual interest divided by the market price. And since the annual interest is $90 on a 9% bond, 9% times 1,000, you divide the annual interest by the market price of $1,110, and you get about 8.1%. Right? Is that what you got? 0.081081, and repeat, 8.1%. Is that what you got? Check it out. Make sure. Now, the yield to maturity and the yield to call, those darn formulas are scary, aren't they? No, they're not that hard. You just have to work through them and do each little piece by itself, and then you can come up with the yield to maturity, or very close to the real yield to maturity, because the real yield to maturity, you have to use what's called the internal rate of calculation. Rate of return, and it gives us such a close yield that it doesn't make any sense to just, we'll do the easy way. Okay, so this one has, you look at the formula, it's annual interest plus the par value minus the market price over the number of years to maturity, and that whole mess is divided by the par value minus the market. Whoop, I made a mistake. I have to fix it. Minus the mark. I did it. I did the calculation right, but I put a minus sign instead of a plus sign. So I'll fix that. And by the time you've read this, par value plus the market price divided by 2. And what that is on the bottom, the par value plus the market price divided by 2, as we said in the lecture, it's just simply the average of the two. It's average of the par value, and it's the average of the par value and the market price. And so what we're doing, folks, with the yield to maturity, it's really the same calculation as current yield, annual interest divided by the market price, but we're taking into account the fact that when the bond matures, it's going to be a different price from the market price. Go ahead and do the yield to maturity calculation with a $1,000 bond, a bond that's selling in par, and you'll find out that the whole thing just turns into the current yield. All the calculations, the par value minus the market value, well, that's zero if the market value is $1,000, so that all disappears. And if you have two numbers and you average them the same number together, you get the same number. So go ahead. That's an interesting little exercise. Well, if we start doing this, let's start in the top right where we have the par value minus the market value, and that's $1,110 divided by 20. So let's see, -$110. Can you work with minus sign, minus numbers, negative numbers? -110 divided by 20 is -5.5. Really, those are dollars. In every year, if we buy a bond that's selling at a premium, we're losing basically $5.50 because it's going to eventually wind up back to $1,000. Of course, if we're a discount bond, it would be the other way around. We'd be gaining money as it makes its way back to $1,000. But this is a premium bond, so it's every year it's going down a little bit until finally when it matures, it'll be equal to $1,000. So that's -5.5. The bottom is just the average of $1,110, and if you add those two numbers together and divide by 2, you get 1,055. Okay, so the next calculation, let's take the $90 plus the -$5.50. Can you add negative? Right, it's like subtracting. And divide that by the 1,055, and you'll get 84.50 divided by 1,055, and you find that the yield to maturity is a little bit over 8%. Let's just call it 8%. 0.080947 is what I got. So you see the yield to maturity is a little bit less than the current yield because after 20 years, we're not going to get the market price back of $1,110. We're only going to get $1,000 back. Now, what's the yield to call? Well, the yield to call is the same thing as the yield to maturity. Well, not quite. It's a little different. Instead of using the par value, we use the call price, right? Because that's what we're going to get back. We're going to get, instead of $1,000 back, if they call it, we're going to get $1,050. And then instead of using the number of years to maturity, which was 20, we use the number of years to call, and let's assume they call it back in 5 years. So you just do the same calculation, but you plug in a couple different numbers there. You put in 1,050 in for the call price instead of 1,000 for the par value, and you put in the number of years to call, 5, instead of the 20 years of maturity. So 1,050 for the call price minus the market value of 1,110 is -60, right? -60 divided by 5, though, not 20 years until this bond is matured. It's 5 years until they call it from us. So you take $90, that's the annual interest, plus a -12 because negative 60 over 5 is a negative 12. And then you take that over the average of the call price and the market price, which is 1,050 plus 1,110 divided by 2, or 2160 over 2, or 1,080. So 90 plus a negative 12 over 1,080, 90 plus a negative 12, that's subtraction, you get $78, divided by 1,080 is a little over 7.2%, 0.072222222, or about 7.2%. And that's the yield to call. And we see that that's lower than the yield to maturity because we don't get to take advantage of the larger interest payments for 20 years. We only get to take advantage of them for 5 years. So make sure you can do those calculations. They look scary at first, but when you do them, you realize that, no, I just have to go through, plot along, and, you know, do the right calculation at the right time, and I'll be fine. All right, now, number three. These are muni bonds. A married couple from California is in the 35% federal tax bracket. That's the highest. That means they're, you know, making $300,000 a year. And the 11% California tax bracket. They are considering a 5% Arizona municipal bond that's federal tax-free, a 4.5% California bond that's double tax-free, right? You don't have to pay the feds, nor do you have to pay the state of California because the couple lives in California. Or a 7% corporate bond for which they have to pay taxes, fully taxable. Now, which bond offers the highest after-tax interest rate? Well, there's no calculations necessary in the 7% corporate bond, so don't do any, okay? Some people, they think they need to do some calculations on the corporate bond. No, you just leave that because that's already the taxable equivalent yield, right? What we now have to calculate is the taxable equivalent yield for the Arizona bond, which is only federal tax-free, tax-exempt, and then we have to calculate the taxable equivalent yield for the California bond, which is both federal and California tax exempt. So the Arizona bond, 5%. Well, what is that on our calculator? 0.05. You understand? Make sure you understand that. And you divide that by 1 minus your federal tax rate. Well, what? The couple's in the 35% bracket, so that's 0.05, the 5% again from Arizona, divided by 1.0 minus 0.35. 35% in your calculator is 0.35. So that becomes 0.05 divided by 0.65, and so we wind up with 0.05 divided by 0.65, or 0.076923, or about 7.7%, 7.69%. So right off the bat, we see that the Arizona bond, on a tax equivalent basis, is better than the corporate bond. And all the things being equal, let's assume the Arizona bond's a good deal, you know, that they're not going to default or anything like that. And the same thing is true for the corporate bond. So we'll take 7.69%. Now, are we really getting 7.69%? No, they're only paying us 5% or $50 a year, but we don't have to pay taxes on that. So it's as if we were getting 7.69%. Okay, now, the California bond's a little trickier. Look at that. It's a little messier, isn't it? We take the 4.5%, 0.045, and then we divide it by this big mess, 1.0 minus the federal tax bracket plus the state tax bracket times 1 minus the federal tax bracket. Now, this assumes, as we talk about in the lecture, that we are, that the couple is deducting in, you know, does their itemized deductions on their 1040 on their taxes. This assumes that they're deducting, which is a pretty good assumption. People in this tax bracket usually have big house payments, big charitable contributions. So sure, so it's a good assumption. So we take 0.045 on the top, and then the bottom is 1 minus the quantity 0.35 plus the quantity 0.11, that's 11%, times 1 minus 0.35, so we're, you know, doing this overnight, like the little, you know, shell within a shell, the dolls within the Russian dolls, you know, one doll, you open up another doll. Okay, so let's start in the very beginning, in the very middle there, the innermost parentheses. 1 minus 0.035 is 0.65. If you multiply 0.11, the state tax bracket, times 0.65, you get 0.715. I'm sorry, 0.0715. Add that to 0.35 and you get 0.4215. So everybody see that? If you can look at the key, if you don't, because it's a little tricky, you have to do the innermost bracket first. 1.0 minus 0.35, that's 0.65. 0.11 times 0.65 is 0.0715. Add that to the federal bracket of 0.35, and you get 0.4215. And that 0.4215 is then subtracted from 1.0 minus 0.4215, and you get 0.5785. All right. What do I do with that? You take the 0.045, that's the 4.5% that we're getting from the California bond, divided by 0.5785. That's the result of that whole mess on the bottom of the calculation. And we wind up with 0.077787, or about 7.8% California bond taxable equivalent yield. So the California bond at 0.077787, or about 7.8%, edges out the Arizona bond, and both of them beat the corporate bond. Are you still with me? I hope so. Hope I haven't lost you. Apologize if I have. Okay, next bum, huh? Let's take a look at the last one. Now, this is the tricky part. This is the part that we basically go back to, those discounted future cash flows. What we did in Chapter 6 for stocks, we're now doing for bonds. And because bonds are fixed, we know, providing they don't default, we know that we're going to get this amount of money. These pricing predictions are usually very, very good. So, we got a 9, let's do number A. A is a 9% bond, 10 years, priced to yield 7%. So, before we even do it, let's think about it. They're paying 9%, it's a 10-year bond, but it's priced to yield 7%. So, what's happened is interest rates have come down. When the bond was issued, they were paying 9%. That was the going rate. But since then, interest rates have come down. What's going to happen to the price of the bond? Right, we expect it to go up. We expect it to be a premium bond. So that's letter A. So a 10-year bond, 7% pricing. You're going to need the table. Go get the table, and you'll see that if you go across... let's write down the formula, folks. Okay, let's write down the formula. If you haven't done so, let's write down the formula. The bond price is equal to the present value of the interest income stream plus the present value of the repayment of the principal. Okay? So you understand that? We're going to get interest from this bond. So the left part of the formula takes the present value of the interest income stream, and the right side of the formula, present value of the repayment of principal, the right... operand says, let's let's look at the present value of the fact that we're going to get $1,000 back. In this case, 10-year bond, we're going to get in 10 years. So now, that's equal to the annual interest times the present value multiplier of the stream of income. That's the right table. You got to go look at the present value table from this chapter. Don't you need the one, not the one from stocks, because the one from stocks was just single payments, but the one for bonds, we have the one on the right, which is for multiple payments, and then the one on the left, which is for a single payment. So the first number is the $90 of interest times the present value multiplier of that stream of $90 payments that we're going to get for the next 10 years. And the second one is the par value, well, that's $1,000, plus the present value of the lump sum $1,000 that we're going to get in 10 years. We're only going to get $1,000 once. So here's how it works. Go look at the table. Go across on the right side, because we looked at the annual interest times the present value multiplier of the stream, the right table. Go across to 7% down to 10 years. Did you find it? You should find 7.024. Do you see it? Make sure you see it. Go across 7% down 10 years on the right table, which is the present value multiplier of a stream of payments, 7.024. Multiply $90 times 7.024, and you get $632.16. Now, on the right part, you take $1,000. We're going to get $1,000 in 10 years, but that's a single payment. So we use the left table, the present value of the lump sum, that $1,000 lump sum. So go across to 7% down to 10 years, and you should see 0.508. Do you see that? Right. At 7%, it takes about 10 years for you to double your money. So so right now, that $1,000 is worth about half of what we're going to get in 10 years. 1,000 times 0.508, or $508. So we have two streams of income, two future cash flows. One is a stream of cash flows. That's the left, $632.16. And the other side is a lump sum payment, the repayment of the principal, and that's $508. If you add the two together, you get $1,140.16. And that's exactly what we expected. We expected this to be a premium bond. Everybody understand that? Go back and listen to the lecture again and make sure you understand that, because that's very important. Discounted cash flows, that's what it's all about, folks. That's what investing is. What's it worth to us today? What's it going to give us in the future? Now, letter B is a 5% bond, 20 years, but priced to yield 8%. Oh, what's happened? We bought a bond at 5% for 20 years, but now interest rates have gone up. What do we expect going to happen to this bond? Huh? Interest rates go up, bond prices go down. We're going to expect this one to be a discount bond, and that's what we should find. So it's a 5% 20-year bond, yield, price to yield 8%. So the annual interest on a 5% bond is $50. That's pretty straightforward. The bond price is equal to the present value of the interest income stream plus the present value of the repayment of the principal. That's the lump sum that we're going to get in this case 20 years. So we take the annual interest times the present value multiplier of a stream. So that's $50 times, now which table do we use? Right, the right table, the one on the right, because that's the stream of interest that we're going to get. And that's, if you go across to 8% down to 20 years, not 10 years, that was the first one, you should see 9.818. Is that what you saw? Is that what you see? Make sure you are seeing that. Go across to 8% on the right table, down 20 years, you should see 9.818. See that? Good, all right. So $50 times 9.818 turns out to be $490.90. Now, to that, we're going to add the present value, the repayment of the principal. The $1,000 we're going to get in 20 years, Well, what is that worth at 8%? It's a single lump sum cash flow. So you use the left table, go across to 8%, down the 20 years, and you see it should be a fairly familiar number, right? 0.215, 215. So that's what that $1,000 is worth to us today. We're going to get in 20 years. And so we had $490.90, the present value of the stream of interest income, to the $215, the present value of the repayment of the principal, and we wind up with a bond that's only worth $705.90. Ouch. Ouch. That's what happens. If interest rates go up, folks, your bonds can take a beating. Now, is this, do you care if you're going to hang on to this bond? You could only sell it for $705.90, but if you have every intention of hanging on to this bond, you don't care, because you're going to get your $1,000 back and you're going to get your $50 of annual interest every year, providing the bond doesn't default. Okay, do these problems over again, and then do worksheet number two, all on your Adinaki. The answer key is there, but do it yourself first, and you'll find that the assignment and the task questions are going to be very, very similar. Okay? See ya!